We're good? Are we ready? Super. So, I was at a bar recently and a girl I know came up to me, wine in one hand, beer in the other, and said, "Helen, you are the coolest Christian I know." And I felt sorry for her for two reasons. Number one, mix grape and grain, you will feel pain. Number two, if I am the coolest Christian she knows, she either doesn't know many Christians, or the Christians that she does know are living what I call the bad news gospel. So what is the bad news gospel? Well, Paul puts it like this in Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7. "I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ." He was talking about the Jewish preachers who were following him around after all of the different groups of people, different churches that he was speaking to, coming along saying, "You know what that Paul said? That's good and all, but actually, don't forget all the Jewish customs that you've grown up with." And so they were saying that Jesus, yay, but actually you've got to do all this other stuff as well. So they were taking the truth of the good news and they were adding to it, like the whole heap of distracting and confusing rules and behaviours that they wanted people to be following in order to be right with God. So the bad news gospel is all of the things that we allow to pollute the actual good news that is the message of Jesus. It's the things that we claim Christianity is all about, the ways that we think that good Christians should behave. The stuff that actually detracts from our freedom that we get through following Jesus and that message of God's love. So things like, every good Christian should be poor. Because we're supposed to be generous, which means giving away all of your stuff. Or the bad news that everything is serious, especially faith. Now there are arguments in churches over the most minor of disagreements, differences in theology about what God is like and how we relate to him. And they've split entire churches because it's so important that if you get this tiny, tiny detail wrong, people will go to hell. Or the bad news that everything you should be doing something for the kingdom. It should be you working to achieve, to save another soul, to to deal with the sound equipment. So what are you doing, wasting your time watching The Walking Dead? There are souls to be saved. There's the hungry to feed. You're not even watching the God Channel, because that's TV you're allowed to watch. The bad news that you're not a Christian until you are settled in a church, preferably serving, preferably on the kids' team. Or the bad news that every time you are faced with a decision, so should I take the job, should I not take the job? Should I have that glass of wine, should I not have that glass of wine? Should I get a fringe, should I not get a fringe? You're supposed to think, what would Jesus do? That bad news that Christianity is all about sacrifice, about doing your Christian duty, and the more unpleasant, the more holy. The bad news that if you're going to be a good Christian, you often have to bypass your brain in order to just follow feelings, or if you're being super spiritual, leading. The bad news that Christians have to have a strong opinion about everything. You must know where you stand on every single moral issue, and you must be prepared to speak on behalf of the entirety of Christianity and God. And you have to speak eloquently, or if not eloquently, at least loudly. The bad news that Christianity is all and only about getting into heaven. Are you saved? Are you not saved? Were you saved, but have since lost your salvation because of that thing you did last night? The bad news that your sin blocks you from having a relationship with God. The bad news that God only likes you and loves you because of Jesus. The bad news that you are trash in God's eyes, but it's only because he looks through Jesus at you that he can stand to stomach you. The bad news that being holy means that you have to live a completely separate life from the real world. Is it any wonder that people think we're weird or delusional or just boring? A lot of the time, if we are questioned, we know that that bad news isn't the actual gospel, but we live like it is, all because we've not really had that revelation in our hearts of what the good news of the gospel is. And that's what transforms us. Bad news, every good Christian should be poor. Good news, there are numerous people in the Bible who are rich and good. There are numerous people in the Bible who are poor and good. There are bad rich people and bad poor people. Your morality is not dependent on how much you own. It is, however, all to do with about how generous your spirit is, how much you love to just bless other people with the blessings that God has given you. Rich people in the Bible, Abraham, King David, an actual king, he had loads of loot. Solomon, they were all financially wealthy. But some of you will be thinking, what about that young rich guy that Jesus was talking to when he said that it's easier to pass for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to get into heaven? Well, for that particular young ruler, money was his protection, it was his safety, it was his everything, and the thought of having to give that up was too much for him. He trusted more in his money than he did in Jesus, and that is why it was hard for him and rich people who are like him to get into heaven, because they're not actually trusting in Jesus. Bad news. Everything is serious. Good news, the Bible disagrees. So I recommend having fun, because there is nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way, they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We are encouraged to enjoy our lives. That might be a shock to some people, because being a Christian means being serious and sad and suffering all of the time. Jesus died for us to have an abundant life, not just in heaven, but starting now. An abundant life, a life of blessings, of joy, of excitement, of adventure. Bad news, you're not a Christian until you are in a church. And by extension, we should be getting people into church. And once they're in church, it's then the preacher's job to actually make them into Christians. We have this idea in our hearts that actually that's the end goal. You meet someone who you know isn't a Christian, they don't know Jesus, so you just really want to get them into a church because then they're Christian? A lot of people, their relationships with God, their relationship with Jesus happens way before they even consider joining a church family. Why would you just walk into a building and think, aha, this is it, this is where I stay, I believe in Jesus? A lot of people, it's a process that draws them into a church, but we have in our minds that that is the end goal. Bad news. Every day, every decision you face, you should be thinking, what would Jesus do? Good news. You don't know. You don't know what Jesus would think about getting a fringe or not getting a fringe. The good news is we have the Holy Spirit in us. That means that he is the one leading us. He's the one guiding us. He's the one that changes our hearts' desires, that compels us to do things, that draws our attention to circumstances and opportunities. He is the one that guides us. We are not supposed to second guess what Jesus might have thought about a situation that he never actually faced. What would Jesus do? Would he allow your child to have a Twitter account or not? It's not something he ever faced. Why are we trying to guess how he'd react in that situation? It's Holy Spirit. That's the whole point of having Holy Spirit as a gift from God, that we don't have to guess anymore. We can be led. We can be guided by him. Bad news. Christianity is all about sacrifice. Good news, it is all about sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice. Hebrews 10 talks about Jesus being the final sacrifice for all our sins. And mostly, we get that. There's no more of this going to a temple, sacrificing a bull once a year, and woohoo, you're scot-free, woohoo. We know in our hearts that Jesus is the only way to God and only way to righteousness. And yet, we have this kind of thought that doing things we hate is kind of part of our Christian duty. Now, we're not called to live like beaten, downtrodden, abused people. We are supposed to sacrifice, but that sacrifice is supposed to come through a heart of compassion. I always think of it in terms of giving lifts. For me, is something that I've really struggled with for reasons unknown. But I remember years ago, I got a phone call just after midnight from a girl who was really, really drunk at a party saying that she wanted a lift home. Could I come and pick her up? And so I thought, well, I have a car. I can drive. It's only 20 minutes from where I am. I can go and pick her up. Yeah, I can do that. So I did. I went and picked her up. Now, I didn't want to. I was already in bed. I did not want to have to get up, get dressed, go trek half a town away to go and pick her up. But I felt that I had to because it was my Christian duty. But Christianity isn't about being a doormat. I did not feel genuine compassion for her at that moment in time. I did not feel like I wanted to go and help her. I wanted to go and punch her, really, because I was annoyed. If it's something that you genuinely feel compassion over, go and do it, because that's probably Holy Spirit leading you to do it. But if you really don't want to do it, don't do it, because that could be Holy Spirit saying to you, this isn't right, actually, it's not for you to go and do this. Because I went and rescued that girl, but if I hadn't, she might have learnt that it's not a good idea to go to a party underage, get really, really drunk, fall out with the host, not bring money to get a taxi. She might have realised that that's not a good chain of events and she needs to do something different next time in order for a better outcome. But because I went and rescued her, it might be that she thinks that's a good thing to do all the time. Bad news, you often have to bypass your brain to be a Christian. Good news, not true. God gives us wisdom. He talks about wisdom a lot in the Bible. We should want to be wise. We have a spiritual gift of wisdom and we can use it in our lives to navigate this life in a good way, in a way that God would want us to. Proverbs 4 verses 6 and 8 say, don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honour you. God gives us wisdom, but sometimes we say and do the stupidest things as Christians. We sit around waiting for a sign to do something when wisdom would have told us to do something else anyway. I can't remember if I've already shared this, but years ago I had to go to an event in London and didn't bother to check out ahead of time where I was going. I just knew roughly where the tube station was, so I got there and thought, God will guide me the rest of the way. Now my sense of navigation is bad at best, but when I've literally got no idea where I'm trying to get to, shocking. I just walked out of the tube station and said, God, left or right? Silence. I'm a try left. It's getting quite dark now, God. London, on my own, in the dark, not wise. I ended up having to phone my parents and get them to look at an A to Z of London and just navigate me. This was before Google Maps. Wisdom would have suggested that actually I just plan the route ahead of time, not just leave it up to God's leading, because God gave me a brain. He gave me the ability, well, some ability to map read. It's not great. But often we do that. We wait around waiting for God to give us a sign to do something that he's already, through our wisdom, told us to do, or through the Bible has told us to do, and yet we decide to bypass our brains and just kind of wait expectantly for him to tell us to do something we've already been told to do. Bad news. It is all and only about getting into heaven. We get really preoccupied with this. Like, am I in or am I out? How much loot am I going to get in heaven? Because if you do lots of good deedings, you get lots of treasure. And I just love the idea that there's probably going to be a load of old guys who just kind of hanging out around the throne of God, just with these massive big old gold crowns and gold chains and like big gold rings that say thug life, and just kind of hanging around near God, be like, oh this, it's from all the good deeds I did in life. Yeah, not that it's about me, it's all about God. We're here to worship him. I might look like a G, but he's the OG. Why do we think that this life that we're in now isn't valuable, isn't a gift from God? Why do we wait and try and put off our enjoyment of God until heaven? We've got a lot of time on this earth, some less than others, a lot of time on this earth to enjoy our relationship with God. We've got nations to change, we've got people to reach, we've got things to do, people to speak to, and yet we focus on heaven and not on the life that God wants us to lead now. Bad news, your sin blocks you from God. That's not true. We have this idea that when we sin, God takes a step back or turns around, but that's not true. Paul says in Romans, "And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." That means your actions, your behaviour cannot separate you from God's love. He never stops loving you. Never stops loving you. Bad news. God only loves you because of Jesus. Good news. He's loved you since before he even created the earth. He loved you enough to send Jesus in the first place. He's been working to get his kids back ever since he lost them in the Garden of Eden. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. Bad news. We are lowly trash in God's eyes. He only stomachs us because of Jesus. Good news. He is the one who is beautifying us. He is the one who is making us more into the image of Jesus than we are now. Psalm 149 verse 4 says, "For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. We are his people." 2 Corinthians 3:16 to 18. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts were covered with that veil. They do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil of confusion and ignorance removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. We're not lowly trash in God's eyes, but he sees the end picture. He sees the beautiful work of art that he's making you into. Bad news. Being holy, being set apart, means that you have to set yourself apart from real life. This is a real tension that we live in. How do you set yourself apart as holy without actually removing yourself from people that need to know about Jesus? How do we keep our minds clear from bad thinking and compromise when a colleague is bragging about the affairs they're having? Or when your friends are getting high at the weekend? Do you stop hanging around with them? Do you separate yourself from them? Because they may corrupt you? Or what kind of gospel is that? Actually, you're not good enough for me, so I'm going to remove myself from you. Is that how Jesus reacted when he was faced with prostitutes and sinners, he didn't separate himself from them, but he embraced them. He loved them. But it's hard. It's hard to be around people who are doing stuff that you know isn't best for them without condoning it, but without judging them. But the good news is that God helps us to make wise choices about when to embrace the life that other people are living and when to politely distance yourself. Those conversations where he wants you to talk about him and the better way, and those conversations where he wants you to just be quiet and listen to other people's stories. I think we often feel that when someone's done something that we know isn't the best of them, we should tell them about Jesus and tell them how they could live a better life and how God wants more for them. But actually, it might not be the right time. Their hearts might not be in the right place to receive that. But actually, God wants you to be building a friendship, building trust with that person. And then the time will come where you can talk to them about the truth. Bad news. Christians have to have an opinion on everything. Now, I have no idea whether I agree with creationism or not. I have not formed an opinion on whether it is okay to kill as long as it's in a war. I have, however, formed an opinion on whether it's okay for women to preach and whether it's okay for women to lead, because that is something that I have had to face. I have not yet had to face killing in a war. It is okay to not have an opinion on something. I don't know what God thinks about the EU. I don't know whether he wants Britain to leave or not. I've only just found out they're a part of the EU. It's not truth. Christians are often expected to represent God in stuff that we just don't know anything about. I've had it before where people have asked me, what does God think about gay people? Yeah, because that's an easy thing to sum up in a sentence. Well, he loves them, but whether he agrees with homosexuality or not, that is a huge thing that has literally split churches in half. I don't feel able to comment on that, actually. And it's not something I've had to face in my personal life. None of my friends that I know of are gay. None of my family is. So I've not really actually had to form an opinion on that. And that's okay. It's okay to say to people when you ask those questions, I don't know. We can trust that God will give us the words to say at the right time, that if it is something that he wants to give us revelation about, that he will. But often we try to intellectualize things and try to come to a conclusion about these huge moral issues without actually having revelation from God, but just using our feeble human intellect. And actually we can end up doing a lot of damage that way. But we can trust that if someone asks us one of those big questions, is it okay for someone to change their gender? But God will give us the words to say at the right time, that we don't need to necessarily come up with a stance on that in advance. The good news is that God is constantly reaching down to us. We have this idea that we've got to make ourselves holy, we've got to try to reach up to God, but actually he is bending down. The whole story of the Bible is about how he is reaching down to humanity because he loves us. We don't have to keep jumping up to get his attention, but he's stooping down to us. Good news is that he is not a harsh, angry God. He doesn't discipline us in order to punish us. His correction is about moving our focus. When we do things that are not good for us, his desire is to bring our attention back to him and back to the better way. This is really exemplified to me when I saw a friend of mine and her daughter. Her daughter is only young and she was playing with a toy and she threw it somewhere and lost it. And then lost it. Started having a tantrum and it was loud. My reaction was to discipline the child, tell the child off, make the child stop the tantrum. My friend did something much better. She found her another toy. She distracted her. The tantrum stopped. The end result was the same. And rather than this little girl learning that expressing her emotions, although expressing them not great, but that expression of her emotion wasn't something that she should be ashamed of. She wasn't learning the lesson that she needs to be quiet, that her feelings aren't appropriate or they're not wanted. But instead, she learned that even if she does lose something, something else will be provided to her. I think that was a beautiful lesson. Punishment shows that our behaviour is bad and wrong. But actually, God's correction shows us the better way. Good news is that we are celebrated. And even the tiny little victories that we have in life, God is there celebrating with us. I am trying, although half-heartedly, to learn French at the moment. Mainly for that work trip to France that I'm probably never going to go on. But the app that I'm using to learn French gives me a little update of how I'm progressing. And it told me the other day that I now have a 1% fluency in French and gave me the opportunity to put that on my LinkedIn profile. I don't have a LinkedIn profile, but I can't imagine that 1% fluency in French is going to be something that employers are really looking for. But I loved that it was celebrating my teeny tiny little triumph, and God is like that. He would have been in heaven like, do you see that? Do you see that? She knows what cat is in French. Yeah, that's my girl. She can tell you what the colour red is. I like the cat. She knows it. She knows it. Yeah. The app is teaching me to lie in French. He celebrates with us. He cheers us on in everything that we are doing and all our efforts. Even when we fail, he's still there. He's not angry at us. He's picking us up. He's setting us back on our feet in the right direction. It says in Zephaniah 3, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." I made friends with someone recently who, despite us kind of chatting for a couple of months, only realised very recently that I'm a Christian. And when she said, "You're a Christian?" I never would have guessed that. My reaction was, "Oh, that's not good. That's not good." Because actually, Christianity is kind of a thing. I kind of thought that people, I'm the coolest Christian people know. So I was a little concerned when she didn't know that about me. But actually, thinking of it, that's kind of a good thing. You see, Jesus didn't go around saying, "Hey, hi there, yeah, Son of God, nice to meet you. Jesus, Holy One." Yeah. He didn't do that. He got to know people first, and they were drawn to his presence. They were drawn to him, not because he was the Son of God and he announced it all the time, but because of the life that he was leading, his relationship with Father God. That's what drew them in. And I would much, much, much rather people get to know me and think, "She's got something that is different," and then find out that I'm a Christian, rather than come with that perception of, "She's a Christian, she's going to be weird." I'd like them to discover that a few months on. And with this girl, it's led to some really interesting conversations about church, about my faith, that she might not have had with me had she known that I was a Christian up front, because that might have coloured her opinion of what was and wasn't acceptable to ask me. Or she might just steer clear, because most Christians are weird. With Jesus, even when he saw Peter and Andrew fishing and he went to them and said, "Come, follow me," he didn't say, "Because I am the Son of God, I am the way." They were attracted to him, and they already knew him. He was already in a relationship with them before he said, "Come on, follow me, give up everything else." So we're not to hide our faith, but we need to be living out the true gospel. Now, I'm very aware that a year or so ago, that girl in the bar would not have said that I was the coolest Christian she knows, even if she knew no other Christians, because I was not a happy bunny. I was in a really bad place about a year ago, and God has really taken me on a journey of deconstructing the bad news gospel that I was living by and showing me actually what the good news is. So I encourage you to spend some time with God, asking him if there are any areas of your life or your thinking that is actually bad news and not the truth. And that although you think that's the Christian way, is it actually the way? Because we get ourselves so muddied. We get our theology and our understanding of God so confused. And it impacts everything. It impacts our lives, but it also impacts the lives of people around us. Because truth is, people who don't know Jesus look to us to see what Jesus is like. And we are not supposed to be fake. We're not supposed to try and work out, what would Jesus do? But we do need to live that authentic gospel, the truth. And that will be enough to draw people into Jesus, seeing his life lived out through you. So I'm just going to pray to finish. Jesus, I thank you that you died so that we can have intimacy with God, that we can have a relationship with our Father who loves us. And I ask that you, Holy Spirit, would help us to live the true gospel, that we would live and walk in that freedom that knowing Jesus brings, that we would not be burdened with heavy burdens of ought to and need to and have to, because that's our Christian duty, but instead we would just embrace the life that you died for us to have, Jesus. I thank you that no matter what we do, no matter how many times we stumble and fall, you are always there to pick us up. And I pray that you just remind people of that today. Your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for your love. Amen.